Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben, and I'm here with Brian to talk about episode 3 of Survivor 46. And, you know, Dylan's not here, but his loss is our gain, Brian. I mean, he may be dead for all we know, but, you know, that means that we get some more FaceTime on the podcast, so we should be happy.
Yeah, Bonu actually prayed that Dylan wouldn't be on this episode, so, you know, God came and put obstacles in Dylan's way, unfortunately.
He smote him down prior obligations.
man, so what an episode, Ben.
Yeah, I'm seeing this episode feels like very controversial from what I've seen online so far. Okay. I'm trying to look too deep because I don't like to have my own personal bias coming in, like, you know, affected. But I loved it. I think whether you like the episode and whether you like the season as a whole so far really kind of comes down to like whether you find Bonu good TV.
Yeah, and with that said, I was very happy. Ridden, he seems like a great guy. It sucks that he got pulled and it wasn't an actual, like, you know, what was it, a bulging disc was what the doctor thought it might be. It sucks that he got pulled for basically nothing. That's very sad. However, as a fan of good TV, Bonu is he's a 10, right? Like, he's delivering everything I could possibly ask for from a Survivor character. So if this is what it took to keep him around for another episode, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, look. This comes down again to people complaining about things and then getting mad when they get what they want, where, like, people are complaining that, like, the new era is casting too many game bots. And it's like, okay, we're going to cast somebody who is aggressively horrible at Survivor in, like, the most obscene way possible. Like, multiple people on the season you could describe that about. But with Bonu in particular, like, his entire thing is, like, he's, you know... He's almost like a tragic, like, monkey paw style character where he's like, I want to, you know, change a million hearts. But, like, most people, I would say, who are watching find him to be obnoxious.
I thought you were going to say, just monkey paw in terms of just getting on Survivor. And then this is what happens.
Yeah.
Because that's something I've personally always worried about. Like, what if I go on Survivor and everyone's like, this guy's a lunatic, you know, which, not unfair, but wouldn't want that to happen, you know?
Well, I mean, we had a segment where we had Hunter show his 40,000 fan-made Survivor challenges, which me and you can appreciate.
Yeah, I was like, it looks like my garage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it looks like every storage for, like, every LRG I've participated in or helped with. Yeah,
it's a normal behavior that everyone exhibits, right? This is fine, and why are they even highlighting this?
Yeah, but I mean, like, compared to, you know, Hunter should be thanking his lucky stars that he was put up in the episode against Bonu. Because compared to Bonu, he looks like a normal, well-adjusted human being.
So. Yeah, I think Hunter, you know, it's just like, he's like the perfect man, except the one flaw is he's just way too into Survivor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's fine, because, you know, that's far from my only flaw. I wish that were my only flaw.
Yeah, exactly. I would be chilling if that was my only flaw, you know?
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten into med
school. One
of many. Just down here. Teacher in some, like, fucking Hallmark ass turn of events.
But yeah, I don't know. This season feels very monkey paw esque in general. We talked about the same thing with episode 1 with Jelinski, where he's like, I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna be a legend, and then he has, like, you know, it's like Drew Christie esque kind of fall where he's like a legend in all of the worst ways.
Yeah. Basically, I'm a badass.
Yeah, exactly. And a manipulator at this game. Yeah, that's Jelinski is the monster. Again, very Gabon-esque with the, like, feeling almost like a parody of Survivor, like an MTV-style parody of Survivor.
Right.
the whole season so far. And yeah, like I agree with Randon. I was excited to see where the Randon and Venus kind of storyline went, where it's like this marriage of convenience and they both kind of like tacitly dislike each other, or like at least are like a bickering married couple almost, at best. Yeah.
I feel we were robbed of an interesting dynamic for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks. But, I think what sucks more is we need to do something here, Jeff. We need to let people pass their advantages to their allies on the way out.
Yeah, well, okay, I think that I understand why in this case he couldn't do it, because he doesn't actually have an advantage. Right now he has a disadvantage. So, like, how do you will, like, it's essentially like the pre-cum of an advantage.
Oh, boy.
Like he's lost his vote, but he hasn't even like done step two out of three in order to get it back.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know how that would like logistically work.
Yeah. Do you think that the Orange Tribe's idol is gone out of the game now, or do you think they'll rehide the initial clue?
I could see them rehiding the like initial beware advantage. They would have to, I assume, dig up the box, put it in a new spot, like rebury it in a new spot, and then hide the beware advantage above it again. So I don't know if they'll go through all of that effort, but maybe they will. Because like it would definitely help like Venus to know that like maybe she should go out and look just in case they do that. I had just assumed that they was going to be dead.
Yeah. I don't have a strong feeling one way or another. I could see them going either way with it, you know? So I guess we'll just have to wait and see there, but yeah, unfortunate for Venus. She's lucky Hunter's on her tribe, yeah. I guess. And you were saying before we were on this, you don't think there's going to be a swap this season. So eventually that luck might run out if we get down to enough players. I don't know. Do you think Banu's tribe, what is it, Yanu?
Yanu.
Wow. Do you think Yanu, I don't know, do you think they have a fighting chance in any challenge? I mean, if they didn't win this, Hunter's just such a beast. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they definitely had a fighting chance in this one. Like, yeah. I didn't expect Charlie to clutch out that beanbag toss at the end.
Right.
Like, I think it probably just came down to, like, Q and Tiffany, who were probably the two who seemed the best at it, were just super gassed
by
that point in the challenge. So, I don't know. It doesn't help that they don't have a fire, that they're probably not, like, really eating and, like, they're probably not sleeping as well. Like it didn't seem like anyone's sleeping super well, but them in particular seemed like they're sleeping extra poorly. They basically abandoned their shelter and were like, hey, let's just sleep under this rocky outcrop for the night and see
if that works. Return of a cave on Survivor. We haven't seen people living in caves in so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been quite a bit.
Probably most famously Micronesia, right? And then
yeah.
I guess Palau, that was the same cave, right? That was the
same cave, yep, same beaches.
So, I mean, there just probably hasn't been many cavey beaches since then.
Yeah. Or maybe just like, you know, no other tribe has struggled that much to make a shelter.
To want to live in a cave.
Yeah.
I feel like it wouldn't be too bad. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, one of the main reasons you make a shelter is to like get off the wet ground and like bugs and stuff. Like those are the main reasons. And then obviously like rain, like a cover from the rain. So like a cave has most of that. And as long as it's not like a super like buggy cave, like it's probably not significantly worse than just a shelter.
Right. Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see if they stay there, if they go back to the shelter. Because we were at least hanging out with it when Jeff arrived later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they strategized in the shelter, but it's not good enough to
I think it was raining a lot, right? That was
I think they had just had a storm, which is why the reward would have been really nice for them.
Right.
I think that's kind of like, you know, we've talked about this format and the new era in general, especially with them losing their Flint over and over again. It just kind of leads to this.
Have they even won their Flint?
No, they have not. They have never had their Flint. Yeah, they've come in third place in all four challenges they've done. So, and all four challenges have had the same first, second, third. It's always been Nami, Siga, Yano, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. So
crazy.
I mean, is it though? I don't know.
Yeah. No, this is typical of the new era. Typical of the three tribe format.
Mm-hmm.
It has to end, Ben. It has to be over. We have to just do two tribes.
Yeah, and this is kind of a parallel issue from what we talk about with Big Brother, where you like these shows thrive on the game being having high variance in good ways, you know, not in ways where like it's unpredictable and people are just playing randomly. Right. But a lot of the variance, like the natural variance, comes from challenges and competitions. And if you have smaller tribes, the variance for how those tribes are going to be performing is going to like ultimately be lower, because you have less opportunities for people and tribes to be good at things. You're going to have sit outs, which are able to like really narrow down like a select few people who are not going to drag the team down, etc. Like, and this is what we've seen on Big Brother in modern times that we talked about ad nauseum, which is like low variance in challenging competition outcomes leads to more boring and predictable seasons and gameplay.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if they're worried about the gender dynamic being off on one tribe or another, I mean, they've done plenty of seasons with 18 people, with one tribe with four and one with, you know, five of either gender. Mm-hmm. Just do men versus women then. If you like, you know, that's fine too. We've had three of those seasons. I guess four if you want to count Panama, where it was like old, young men and women. So like, I mean, that only lasted one. That lasted one thing. And they're like, this might not be a good
thing. Well, then they were like, four person tribes really is not sustainable. No,
this is an immediate mistake.
Yeah.
Off the rip. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, just do something, please. Shake it up. Jeff, I know you like claim you're like so reinvigorated about Survivor these days after the pandemic, but like this stuff makes it feel like he's checked out. This makes it seem like we're just letting it run, you know, same place every year, similar tribe colors every season, same format every season, just, you know, let it keep going until no one watches anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, they could always even just go back to like, if we're going to have 26 days, like you could do a cast of 16 and it would be fine. And then you wouldn't have to do.
Love it. That'd be great.
Yeah. You would be able to like merge later, merge at like even 11. If, you know, at least if not like, you know, old style Survivor was 16, merge at 10. And then jury starts at 9, but they can even do a merge at 11 if they want. Like
the perfect format. Yeah, let's just go back to that.
Yeah,
identical games, merge and pre-merge, or 7 pre-merge, 7 merge boots, final 2 can't tie. They had it, Ben. It was all in their hand.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I think like if they want to keep, you know, obviously we're not going back to a final 2.
It's so messed up because like Token Chains is one of the greatest seasons, and it literally was like we're kind of going back to basics. Well, I'm just saying because that was a 16 person season,
sure, yeah,
and a final 2. Like they've done it in, I know it's not modern era, this is ancient history at this point, but at the time, you know, they had gone away from it and they went back and they're like, oh, this game still works perfectly. Mm-hmm. Let's never do it again.
Yeah, well, the ever since the Final Three was implemented, there has been three Final Two seasons, and all three of them are, like, well-regarded seasons.
Right.
But, so, like, it's not like, you could say, oh, it's just a coincidence, but, like, it's not, like, entirely a coincidence.
No, definitely
because,
not.
Like, all three of those, like, Final Two matchups are really compelling and, like, create really interesting endgames. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But, like, we're obviously not going back to Final Two, so if they want to do, like, a tribe of, or a cast of 16, merge on 11, start jury at 11, and then do, like, the 8-3 that they've been doing recently. If they're, like, that's what they're, you know, they love the, you know, even-numbered juries for some reason, so that's what they want to do.
I love the threat of the tie to have that moral moment of having to cast this deciding vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was compelling, sure, but you know,
I mean, it was like it was compelling in that like it was the first time it ever happened. But like you know, as soon as it was announced that that's how it worked, everyone was like, "Oh yeah, Wendell." Yeah. It was no
yeah.
air over who's gonna win. Like everyone's like, "Oh yeah, obviously she's gonna vote for Wendell to win."
It's more like putting someone in that position is kind of fucked, but awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it could have been interesting if like you know Austin had gotten one more vote last season, right? You know, for Jake to be in that position. I think he said in the post, you know, show that he would have voted for D, so it wouldn't have really changed the outcome.
Right,
but yeah, still. But yeah, I don't know. a little bit of a tangent, complaining about the format again.
Listen, if people are on this ride at this point, they know what they're getting.
Yeah.
Two curmudgeons.
All right. So let's get into Banu's first of like four breakdowns, which is him not understanding the fake idol.
Yeah.
And not understanding that like if anybody was like protected by that play, it was him.
Right. Yeah, man, he's just going through it so hard in this episode, and I feel bad for him for sure. But you know, I saw a thing where someone was like, what is he supposed to do? He's down 3-1. So I mean, he put himself very firmly into this position. Like, I feel bad for him that he put himself there, but I don't feel bad because he put himself there.
Yeah. I guess like, you know, How would you play this if you were like, you know, an optimal Survivor player and not like not Banu?
Oh, so I feel like it'd be weird to be in a position like this. So I've never really considered this. I've considered being voted out first of something. I've never really considered being like, you know, on the outs of a pre-merge tribe like this.
Yeah.
If
you're good at Survivor.
Right. My move would be, and this is so weird because this is not Banu at all. So it's like, I feel like I could tell him my plan and he wouldn't be able to do it at all. But if I was in his position and I wasn't Banu, I was myself, I would go to Q. I would play on his, like, you know, well, he feels like, you know, I'm Philip, you're Boston Rob. Play into that. Be like, I'm so loyal to you. Like, I would never, ever go against you. And you know, I'm going to try so hard in challenges. And like, Kenzie, I don't think she's as good as me at challenges. So on top of that, she's also a very savvy player. She also approached Jess and I to vote you off last round. I didn't want to do that. So the plan blew up. But like, she's already now thinking about stabbing you in the back. So all I can offer, I know I'm on the outs, is I'm going to be loyal to you till the end. And Kenzie's not. That's what I would pitch to Q. And Q, I think, has enough pull with Tiff to be like, yeah, I think we should do this. And Tiff would potentially go with it. It's hard, though, because Tiffany's also with Kenzie. But I mean, I would just try to plant the seeds of, like, you know, Kenzie, she's out for herself more than you are, Tiffany, more than she's out for you, Q. She will take the first life raft off the sinking ship, Yanu, and I won't. I will go down with the ship. I'll go down with you.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I think that also the argument that came to mind for me, I assume part of why Q considers the play at all is because right now, as we stand, Tiffany is, like, in the best position in the tribe.
Yes.
Right. Even without her idol. And then she also has an idol. The way that Q usurps that position is by pulling Banu in and by getting rid of Kenzie. That, like, cuts off Tiffany's like fulcrum position, and it, like, puts Q into that position instead.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, you just be like, listen, Q, be honest with me. Do you think Tiffany's going to vote you off? No. Do you think I'm going to vote you off? No. Do you think Kenzie's going to vote you off? I think she will. And I think you think she will too. Mm-hmm. You know? And try to pitch it like, yeah, you'll be in the best position. Like, if that's how it shakes out. You know? Like, you already have my word. I will vote Tiffany off before I vote you off. So, and Tiffany, probably the same thing. But Bono would never do this.
Yeah, I know, of course. Like, this is a thought exercise, you know.
You know the Matrix where you can, like, download? Like, that would literally make that. Yeah.
Download being good forever.
Yeah, that's the only thing that could possibly save him at this point. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, well, maybe. Here's what I'm visualizing, right? Here is the way Banu can win this season, if we're going to play this out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, please. People come back from worse, allegedly. I don't personally think so, but...
So, yeah. First of all, he has to make the merge. Either by Yanu actually, you know, not coming last in every challenge, or... maybe they come in last and this plan against Kenzie actually does follow through in one of those votes. And he's able to make the merge. He's basically, I think, a pretty easy lock as a final 3-0 vote goat, right? I would say so. I think, like, there's just never going to be an opportunity in the post-merge where you're like, we have to vote out Banu. He's like, you know, he's such a threat. And then Bitter Jury, and he gives, like, a really heartfelt speech.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he pulls out the, like, when I immigrated to America, the very first thing I did was apply to Survivor. And I thought I was going to be good at it, but I wasn't. I struggled hard. But through this game, I think I discovered myself and I became a better player. Like, yeah, I can see that working. If the jury is very bitter.
Yes, they would have to be, like...
You'd have to be, like, one of those situations where it's, like, I need any reason to not vote for, you know, the other two finalists. So if you give me even a crumb, I will, like, jump on that.
Yeah, it would be, like, this is kind of making me... My mind either went to, like, Romeo.
Right.
Who, like, I think, like... If Marianne was, like, bad at Survivor, Romeo could have won, maybe. I think if Marianne had choked to the degree that Mike choked in that finals, like, there's, like, a non-zero chance Romeo wins, right?
Right.
Like, that's kind of the path that he would have to weave.
Yeah. For sure, him, Marianne just kind of steamrolled that final tribal council, so
there's no shot. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, sure, there's like a 1% shot at this current moment in time that Bono wins. And if he does, I'll be very happy to clip this out and be like, I was a non-believer. And, you know, whatever happened after this episode must have converted me to a true believer, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be the first New Era winner to, like, demonstrate in the pre-merge a non-understanding of basic Survivor strategy and then still go on. So, I guess you want to talk about, I guess we kind of mostly covered the challenge.
I have one more thing to add for Bonnie. If anyone watching this finds themselves in a similar position to Banu, you have to also just not be weird about it. You have to like suck it up, and you have to just like portray yourself as like a hardworking, humble, happy to be there. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to do whatever I can for our little group. I don't think the pulling people to the well and being like, what can I do? Please, I'll do anything is going to work. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it might, it still might work, incidentally, because Q was like that gung ho about getting Kenzie out. But, it shouldn't. I'm not convinced that Q getting Kenzie out is correct. I can see an argument either way. It's definitely not correct for Tiffany. So like Q is definitely going to have to convince Tiffany to do something that's like blatantly against her best interests in order to pull it off. Which I don't know if he actually can. That whole well conversation was just bad overall. I do think that like, I do think Q handled the conversation well, like as well as he could have. I know people were kind of clowning on him for being like, you're a liability, but I'm going to make you into my Philip Shepherd to my Boston Rob. And it's like, I don't know if Banu is like self-aware enough to realize that, that Q is like shitting on him basically. And two, like, it's not the worst to like, call somebody like from like a macro perspective, it's not the worst. Cause like if somebody calls me a liability that they want to turn into an asset and says, you can be my Philip Shepherd, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, this guy's an idiot. I can completely like pull the wool over his eyes.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to go along with this.
Yeah. It felt a lot better than, I'm trying to think, Sherry telling Shamar that he's going to be her Philip Shepherd. That felt dumb in the moment.
It can only work with somebody who's like who isn't gonna get in their ego about it, one, and somebody who is like self-aware enough to realize that the person who's telling it that to them is wrong. Like kind of, you know, like the Jerry or the Sandra on HVV, right? Where Russell is like telling them, oh, I don't think that, you know, you can beat me. So I'm going to like take you to the end. And, you know, Sandra's like, yeah, I don't know about that. Right. Sandra's able to like swallow her ego to a degree. Like she's still like, you know, is openly hostile towards Russell a lot, but she's able to like,
she purges that.
Yeah. But she's able to at least from like a game perspective, swallow her ego and like allow Russell to like steer her into a win. So yeah, it takes a specific type of person for it to work. And like Banu might be that person, or he might be like so not self-aware that it doesn't matter.
Right. Do you think like the scale for like someone comparing, it's like Steven JT, that's like the high watermark of like, yeah, you want someone to be like, we're going to be like Steven and JT. And then Robin Phillips, like the low watermark. Then Denise and Malcolm's like closer to Steven and JT. They didn't get to the end together, but they worked really efficiently together. Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe someday we can, Dom and Wendell, that's right up there with Steven and JT. So like, yeah, actually I think if someone said to me, I want to be, you know, the Dom to your Wendell or vice versa, that would actually probably be like the best, because like, all right, this person not only wants to go to the end with me, but they see me as a competent potential, you know, threat to win at the end, but they still want to go to the end with me, you know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think the lead that gets buried when people talk about being the next Stephen and JT is that Stephen wanted to pick JT out in the end. Right. And just didn't have an opportunity to.
Exactly. Whereas like, I really loved in a podcast, Wendell talked about like, obviously the thought crossed his mind, like, I might need to get rid of Dom, but there just was never an opportunity where, like, it was going to be a good move for him to take Dom out. You know, he felt like they were basically back to back together, like, you know, doing like a shootout, like trying to just get to the end together, which I thought was a really great way to put it, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been in a similar situation, like when I played in an LRD once, and like I got lambasted for it, like, oh, why did you not take this person out so you would be able to claim sole responsibility? And I'd be like, I mean, there was no opportunity where it made sense.
Yeah, you don't want to be the Ricard.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So. You know, so yeah, I think sorry, I kind of derailed it, but I just wanted to get that there. And I think it went to a good point.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. I think, like, you know, if we're going to be doing this referencing Survivor Past as a way to, like, you know, as a, like, a way to convince somebody to do something, you know, you gotta know the tools in your tool belt.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So you want to talk about the scene? You want to talk about the journey?
Well, yeah. I would
say the scene of the episode.
Yeah, I think it was fun to get to know Ben a little bit more, and just like, he's just like, he's what you think he is, I guess. He's just like a rocker. Like, that's his character. He, instead of being like, that's too bad or that's great, he said that rocks or that doesn't rock, which is hilarious.
Yeah. He's like, he's upset that he hasn't been able to listen to Van Halen. And he's like praying to Nicolas Cage for some reason. I didn't really get that part.
But... all people, but.
Yeah, yeah, I
like Nicolas Cage. I'm into it.
Yeah, I guess it kind of fits the, like, it doesn't fit the, obviously, the rocker side, but yeah, it kind of fits the, like, overall, like, persona.
You're right.
But yeah, I don't know. This went exactly how I expected it to.
I didn't think that Banu had the constitution to put together. I mean, it looks like a difficult puzzle. Like, if you're good at puzzles like that, sure. Yeah, but like,
that puzzle is easy if you know how it works.
Right. Yeah. It's like that one that Spencer did, you know, in Second Chance in like 2 seconds. Like, it's so easy if you just know what you're doing.
Yeah. So it's 6 2x2 squares, and then it's 3 1x1 cubes. And the trick is, you literally just have to make sure the 1x1 cubes form a diagonal through the center of the cube, like from one corner to the very opposite corner. And then the square is basically just like fit in, you know, pretty naturally.
So it's like one cube, two cube, three cube in a diagonal.
Yes. So from if you hold the cube like this with one point here and one point here, and like, you're, so you're able to spin it like this.
Yeah.
The cubes go 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is good to know for future Survivor players, or probably LRG players too.
If you know that trick, you can solve the puzzle in like 10 seconds flat. Like, it's not hard. Yeah. But obviously neither of them had seen this puzzle before. But like, I had this puzzle when I was growing up, so I knew how it worked.
Yeah, I do think, like, you know, that obviously, like, the Survivor meta of like, print out or make the challenges that existed before, that's definitely great, but like, I feel like they sell like puzzles like this.
They,
like,
do,
you know, a bunch of different, you know, puzzles like that just give you like a, yeah, they'll just give you a different like spatial awareness of how things can fit together, which would be like a great thing to just like go on Amazon and buy a bunch of them before you go on Survivor, just so you have your mind working in that way. Mm-hmm. If you don't, this puzzle is impossible in the time limit anyways.
Yeah, well, you can probably get lucky and get it if you don't know how it works. But if you know how it works, again, like, it's like super easy. Like, you just do that, boom, boom, like, it just falls together.
Basically, just try to shop not The Genius, the other show by The Genius creator.
Oh, the Devil's Plan.
Yeah, The Devil's Plan. What, just buy like in bulk the type of puzzle that they had in the jail for that Nightman show. Morris.
Oh yeah, the jail ones. Yeah, yeah, the like the metal loop puzzles.
Just get your mind working in a different way. Speaking of Ben, don't want to go too much of a tangent. I sent it to you on Twitter. I don't know if you saw David Tennant hosting The Genius UK.
Oh, are they actually doing The Genius UK?
Yeah.
Okay. When is that? Okay, I deleted Twitter, so I didn't delete the app. I deleted the app, so.
That's smart, smart. But that's
If I haven't responded on Twitter, that's why.
So, they're doing a Genius UK, and David Tennant's going to be the host. I was like, this is made for you. It's like the best.
Yeah, it's right up my alley.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting.
I'm waiting for the Genius US because, like, I will 100%.
If they have it, we got to start a social media campaign for you to get on. Because mm-hmm. I think you'd do great at it, and I think it'd be so fun to see you on a show like that.
Yeah.
Then we can go on the Amazing Race together.
Yeah, no, that's my shit. I hope they port it to the US Netflix so I don't have to go digging. But I have a VPN, so I'll figure it out if they don't.
You're ready. Mm-hmm. Oh man, but yeah. So I think there's just no chance that Bonner is going to beat a puzzle like this.
No.
Especially when he couldn't do it in probably a minute. He definitely just started panicking and. You know, he's having a rough go out there. He wasn't gonna pull it together for this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sad again. Just buy Think Fun or Brain Fun or something like that. There's like a brand of these these types of puzzles. You can literally buy them for like $20 on Amazon. Most of them are very easy to memorize how they work. And it's because they have like a trick to them. It's kind of like the 5-piece tangrams where the tiny square has to like nudge in into like a corner of like the one that goes like that. There's like, you know, yeah. So I don't know. Don't go on Survivor without learning basic, you know, repeated puzzles.
Yeah, exactly. Also, get some bean bags and toss them onto small tables. Mm-hmm. Helpful.
Yeah, not untying. Like, there's a lot of very easily practicable skills.
Run on a beach, find a beach near you, and run on the sand.
Yeah,
and just get the feel for it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, swimming and stuff. Like, there's a lot of
Yeah. If you go on Survivor, you're not hitting up the Y every couple of days. What are you doing out there?
Yeah, I mean, look, Survivor is like. It's like the one time where you should be doing almost all only cardio.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, unless you're going to be as giant as Jonathan or James, where your strength is just such an incredible asset to the point where it can break challenges.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really much of an advantage to being jacked on Survivor.
There really isn't. It's more of just general athleticism than strength. They don't really
do... he's ripped, but he's not super jacked.
Yeah, they don't really do the a squat bar one where they put weights on the.
I think people just got permanent injuries from that, and they're this is kind of a dumb challenge.
I think they just realized they hit the limit of human abilities, and they were like, okay, we're not going to be breaking any more records, so it's not really going to be interesting anymore.
Right.
It was interesting when every subsequent time they did it, it was like, oh, you broke the previous record, but not anymore.
Right. Oh man. So yeah, I think just getting to do a lot of calisthenics, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get your cardio up. You'll do fine.
Do your squats like Lil.
Right. Practice yoga.
Yeah.
Yoga's, I feel like, much bigger now than it was then, too. So there's plenty of classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jigsaw puzzles, word puzzles, word scramble puzzles, and then just brain teasers. And slide puzzles, always a classic.
Yeah, true.
I think they've done fewer slide puzzles recently, I think, because, everyone practices for them.
Yeah, there's only so many, you can only make them so big.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just, not really worth it anymore.
Yeah.
But I did, I think it was Worlds Apart when they did the one where, you kept, moving it and then, getting a piece free and then, it kept building into the next one and next one. That was cool. That was probably the apex of that type of a puzzle.
Yeah. We had Banu break down, and Spill all of his tribe secrets for the most part, or his perspective on their tribe secrets, because I don't know how accurate his portrayal is. I think it's definitely tinged by his own like emotional view with the mermaid and the dragon of it all.
Unfortunately for his tribe mates, it doesn't really matter if it's the truth, because yeah. this is going to be the narrative when yeah. the Swapper merge comes anyways.
Well, the issue now is Bandu's kind of painted himself into a corner, because if he's calling Kenzie a mastermind to everybody else in the game, basically by proxy of Ben and Liz, and then like they lose again and Q and Tiffany do pull this move and vote out Kenzie, like that's going to look bad on him, because now it's going to be like, oh wow, Banu flips the game on the mastermind. What a genius strategist he is. Like he yeah. either lied straight to our faces and put on this, like, you know, this Oscar-worthy performance. Yeah. yeah. Or he was able to flip the tribe completely on the person who was running it within the course of a few days. So like either way, that makes him look super threatening when like it shouldn't, because he has no agency at all.
No, totally agree. So I guess it'll be interesting to see if he can even make a merge. It's yeah. so far out. We're at final 15. Oh, at the final 15, right? Mm-hmm. Just get through two, I guess. But like that still feels like a tall order.
It is a tall order, yeah, when they're that bad at challenges, yeah.
Yeah. Like, at least two people get out of this mess and make the merge. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. like, the only, you know, one of his, maybe his saving grace is Jem wants her idol, and, like, you know, maybe she talks to Mariah, and the two of them are able to, like, throw a challenge if it's, like, those two and two others, mm-hmm. like, you know. Ben's lost his vote, even though the tribe doesn't necessarily know he has, but they can surmise he might have at least. Mm. Maria has her extra vote. So Maria and Charlie have an enormous amount of power now. They yeah. can pull in one person and have a majority without even using Maria's extra vote now. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe Sega has a challenge throw. I don't know. We'll see. That's. Yeah. I think that's the only way that Yano doesn't go to at least one of the next two trials.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see for sure. I was hoping for a swap, but that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought foolishly maybe that they would just follow the same exact cycle and twists. But now I'm worried we're not going to see Jeff stab a bag of rice this season, which I was looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Never going to say never. Maybe he does it even more. Maybe he does like an even crazier version of it.
Mm-hmm. He gets the bag and like pretends to slit its throat in front of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be something.
mm-hmm. I don't. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be a swap. I guess. What are your thoughts on? The one scene we really got from Sega, other than Ben explaining the Banu breakdown, which is talking about the genius and Devil's Plan, editing style akin to those shows, where they did a 4-day flashback to Jem finding the Beware Advantage.
I know. It was just so interesting, because they were just like, well, we have to include the Taylor Swift thing last episode.
Yeah.
We can't leave that on the floor, so I guess we'll just have to move the idol finding to the next episode, because this tribe doesn't have shit going on.
Well, yeah, well, that makes me think that, like they're not going to go to tribal next episode, right? Because, like,
Had her reading the fine print of, like, which I think was a question we had on the last episode, right? Where it's like, what if you never go to tribal council? Do you just get your idol or vote? But she read that, like, more information will be given at that point. So,
well, traditionally with the Beware Advantages, they expire at the merge, which is why we saw last season Bruce like rushing last second to find the idol with like 5 seconds on the game clock, you know.
A lot of good it did him.
Yeah. but yeah, so traditionally it expires at the merge or the murgatory. I think the wording on the parchment is like when everyone is living on the same beach, which they have to say because they don't consider the merge a merge.
Yeah, you gotta earn it now.
So yeah, I would assume that the idol just becomes dead if they don't lose, if Sika doesn't lose one of the next two. Which is interesting. It we'd be going into a merge with one idol in play, which is uncommon for the new era.
Yeah, I do prefer that they did how they did it last season, where there weren't like any conditions on winning or losing. It was just like a multi-tier process to get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more in the spirit of the hidden immunity idol, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as easy as sticking your hand in a tree and pulling it out, but at least adds a little bit to it.
Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily mind, like, you know, the requiring you to lose to get it, because it does create like this tension where somebody on the tribe potentially wants to throw the challenge. And it also means that it doesn't guarantee three idols make the merge. And it also makes it so the tribes that presumably have lost more are more likely to enter the merge with an idol, which is what we might see here. If Yanu enters with like, you know, 2 to 3 people, but where they have an idol and the other tribes don't.
Could be interesting.
It passes the sniff test of like twist design, which is like you want twists to like benefit the people who are on the bottom or like the people in the minority without like helping the people in the majority if they happen to like, you know, get a hold of it. So I don't mind it.
Yeah, we'll see. That's all I really have for this one.
Yeah, definitely. We did see, you know, Bindu come back and like tell like a half truth.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his lie. He's walking with the backpack. It reminded me of like a dejected child coming home from school.
It reminded me of the like the George Michael gif from Arrested Development.
That's so good. That's such a good pull. Yeah, it's exactly the same energy.
Yeah. I liked how he like had a lie but didn't really think it all the way through and didn't really have answers to the questions, like adequate answers, but because of like his personality they didn't really find it that abnormal.
Yeah, they're like, okay, seems legit, I guess.
Yeah. I like how he also like basically didn't want to say the lie himself, so he was like trying to coax them into coming up with the lie for him and then just agreeing to it. Right. So he was like, yeah, you could guess what happened to me. And they're like, what, you pulled the white rock and got sent home?
Right.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, man. I also did enjoy Jeff emerging from the jungle.
Hey, guys. You
know, it's much better than, him pulling up in the boat. Like when he just comes out of the jungle, you know, it's like he's an island spirit almost.
He's a monster.
Yeah. He's I think he got a black shirt. He's the man in black just walking out of the jungle.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean Dr. Will is Jacob?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. How to consider who Jacob would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to make this like crazy analogy make no like a little sense.
I think Phil from The Amazing Race is Jacob if Jeff's the man in black.
Yeah.
I think it works.
Yeah. So what were your when CBS reality fans were clamoring for to see Dr. Will blindside somebody come back in 2024 and blindside somebody, this is not what they were expecting.
No, this is not. I was like, oh man, sorry, you have to change your name, Dr. Will. Mm-hmm. There's already a Dr. Will in reality TV. There's not room for two.
On the same network, even, you know.
On the same network.
Yeah. This is just like, you know, you just go by Bill, William, like there's, you know, come on. Like
your last name, even, yeah, like a normal doctor.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they couldn't have, they couldn't, you know, they couldn't hire somebody new. Like, I mean, I don't know, man. You're really infringing upon your own IP here, CBS.
Yeah, that was very strange when I heard Dr. Will, and it's like, but it's not the good doctor, or I guess the evil doctor. The
evil doctor, yeah. Yeah, he has made a reality TV appearance on a different network.
Yeah, I wish he would have actually played the traitors and not been a guest star, but I guess we'll take the scraps that Dr. Will gives us these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a super rich plastic surgeon. I don't need this. I'll come and, like, you know, give you a little bit, but I'm not.
He'll be a big brother next door neighbor, and he'll come in and he'll, you know, host a jury round table for an episode. Yeah. Whatever he can do with, like, as little effort as possible and film in, like, an hour.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's the dream.
Yeah.
Quite respectable. Yeah. That's why he's the goat.
I mean, you know, like, okay. Was Dr. Will's appearance fee more or less than the amount of money that CT and Trishel split? Like, they each won.
That's a great question. I mean, it probably wasn't a cheap appearance fee.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I mean, because we're talking like what, like $100,000 is what they each one is about.
Yeah. But you gotta fly Will out first class, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If not private.
Yeah.
So it adds up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I was going to make a, you know, and they only got $60,000 after Obama takes his cut joke, but and that makes me thought of when Banu said that he was not out here for $1 million, he's out here for, you know, $1 million hearts. And I was like, well, it's only 600,000 hearts after Obama takes his cut.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Personally, I would love if someone said that I'm not out for $1 million on Survivor, because I'd be like, that's great, because I am. I am here for
$1 million. We had an episode one with Tevin and Liz.
Right. Yeah, that's bad, because it's like braggadocious, and then being like, oh, I'm so rich, I don't need this, you know?
We kind of did see that, though. Like, it didn't work for people in 43, right? Because, like, Gabler basically said, like, I don't need the money. I'm not here for the money. I'm going to donate it all. And it's like, okay. I mean, he still won. So it's not foolproof.
It's true. It's very true. I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm of the mind that, like, if you go into any of these games and people are like, I don't really care about winning, love it. That's what I want to hear. You know, I'd much rather these people not want to win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I would definitely go in and be like, I'm here for one, the title, and then two, the money. Right.
Right.
I would definitely play these. I want to play these games to win, because I want the, like, legacy and the title, but you know, I also want the money.
Yeah. I want to see my name up there, you know, with all the other winners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the championship banner.
I want, like, you know, psychos like us to have to memorize my name.
Right.
You know, to demonstrate that they're really super fans by listing off every winner.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I think next episode should be good. I don't know why people are seemingly not as into this season. I'm liking it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I expected it to be very Gabon-ish, and it has been so far.
Yeah.
Love it. Here for that.
I mean, I think that, like, people are disliking it for the same reasons that people have and do dislike Gabon, which is not particularly compelling strategy. Although I think Gabon did have, like, some interesting strategy that gets overlooked. But, you know, I would agree, not a lot of interesting strategy so far. And relatively unlikable cast.
Yeah, I was going to say these people suck.
Yeah.
And it's great.
So, and like nothing has really happened so far. Like nothing has like it's just been a lot of like plate setting. Mm. It's been like very like obnoxious plate setting. So I can understand if like the, you know, the scenes that are happening aren't doing it for you, not really like, you know, enjoying the meal. I'm enjoying it, and I'm very excited to see where this goes, because I have no idea. Like, I, like, who wins the season? I couldn't even like begin to guess. Like,
yeah, because like if people are like, oh, it's like predictable, like Charlie's a front runner, Maria's a front runner, it's like episode three, you would have thought that Charlie was gonna win that, right? Not Charlie, Marcus.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I do think, ironically,
maybe Charlie could have been the.
Yeah, I think Maria might be the Marcus, and Charlie might be the Charlie.
But they were the first two merge boots. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that like. I think on a normal season, I would be saying like, Maria and Charlie are the front runners based off of like how I see things playing out. But, you know, also, I don't think Maria was even on screen this episode.
Zero confessionals.
And then on top of that, like the content we've gotten from Sega so far has been them like saying Taylor Swift and Metallica songs and then an idle search from 4 days ago.
Right.
Like, like maybe they're just not strategizing because they don't have to, like, and they're like the, like, would be like the Luwu, I think is the name of the tribe. And you know, we won't really get to know a lot of them until post merge, and then post merge, most of them will like blossom into much bigger characters. And they're just kind of focusing on that, like, they're basically telling the, like, why Yanu loses story now, and then maybe they'll move to like the why Nami loses story, and then we're left with Sega, and we're like, okay, now we're going to tell the story of like why this person on Sega wins.
Because I mean, Sega just hasn't had, they haven't lost anybody, and they haven't had to play the game yet, so you know, I mean, it's just how it is right now. It's fine. You know, it's, it'll be okay. I promise this season will be good.
Yeah, well, I don't want to promise that.
Let me backtrack. I don't want to promise anything, but I have a feeling that this will be good because I've been enjoying it so far.
Yeah, it's unique. And in an era where there's a lot of samesiness, like, I appreciate the fact that there are characters this season that I don't really like feel like I've seen on Survivor before. And they're playing Survivor in a way that is creating like new scenarios that I've never seen. Like, you know, nobody has really ever acted how Banu acts to the degree he is. Like, the closest comparison I've seen is Ty. And like, even Ty had more strategic foresight than Banu. Like, he had like at least a little bit of strategic foresight and understanding. Whereas Banu is just like pure raw emotion. He's like the he's like this. Was it despair from Inside Out? Like, the sadness one. Like,
yeah,
it's just like the raw emotion of sadness with like no logical filter from like moving from his thoughts and feelings to his actions and words.
Right.
And like, I don't think we've ever seen that before in Survivor to that degree.
Right. And then, you know, you got we left out the Orange Tribe a little bit. You got a Hunter who's like, everything's just gone really well for me my whole life. It's just been really good. And it will continue to keep going very well for me.
He's like, I got a full ride to medical school. I could have become a doctor. And I was like, no, I think I'll do something else. Why not?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's fine. Just do it creatively. Or not creatively, well, maybe creatively, but like soulfully fulfilling career of teaching kids science.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've been enjoying it so far. I hope people lighten up on it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk, well, we briefly talked about Venus with the random evac, but like Venus is like a really, you know, interesting and compelling character too. And I'm like, I assume she goes far because like the amount that the show is invested into her when like she's otherwise been relatively, you know, unremarkable is a lot. So I assume she makes the merge and like is a major player. And, you know, maybe.
Yeah, she's the type of player you make the merge. It's like, going to be hard to convince anyone to vote her off after the merge.
Yeah, and she has like this predetermined expectation of potentially flipping on Nami. So I think that there's like a lot of room to like wiggle there. Like maybe the reason that Sigga is able to like come out on top in a post-merge scenario is because somebody like Venus is able to flip and Sigga is able to stay like this kumbaya family vibe for long enough.
And Venus is gonna be like, I hate these people so much. I've hated them since the moment I've met all of them.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of weird vibes on this season. I think like people are conflating weird vibes with bad vibes. But I'm enjoying it. So we'll see.
Definitely. Well, I guess other than that, where can they find you online? What do you want to promote? Floor is yours.
Yeah. Well, I promised one tweet an episode, and I haven't fulfilled that. I did not tweet about this episode.
Right.
But you can, I guess, follow me at Ben Sharon there. Yeah. I deleted Twitter from my phone, so I don't really use it anymore.
I'm so impressed. I'm literally like the Kylo Ren meme where he's like, I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. That's me with my addiction to social media and Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, look, you just I found it easy to just do it. And then, like, if you want, you can just re-download it later. Like, it doesn't right. matter. Like, you know.
True.
And it's improved my life so far, so I'm keeping it that way.
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at TheFakeBMarr, BMARR. I don't tweet that much, but I am there, lurking, liking, retweeting, all that. Other than that, main channel, WikiGood Everything. I've been doing some streams on there, playing some Helldivers. It's been very fun. I made a TikTok just for stream clips. So, you know. Ben, if you get out there streaming again, we'll clip stuff, put it on there. That's WGE Was Live on TikTok and Instagram. I don't really get Instagram. Also, I hate it. But they're thinking about outlawing TikTok, so I figured I might as well just start uploading to Instagram as well. And then, yeah, this is Better Radio, and we also have a sports channel, WikiGood Sports. That's also on TikTok if you're interested. But having good numbers on there. I've been just, you know, sitting in front of the green screen, talking into my WikiGood Everything microphone about the happening. Yeah, I thought so. It was the purple and then, like, the little sticker. And it's fun. It's been fun just talking about free agency in the NFL and that kind of stuff. Just little clips.
Yeah, a lot of big moves.
A lot of it, yeah, yeah. You know, you had the low of when the Dolphins lost a lot of their players, and then they signed a lot of players the last couple of days. So, like, you know, will it even out? We'll see.
Yeah.
But I was in despair at one point. I was like Banu, just crying on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so check out all of those. And other than that, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.